Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Father, we thank you that you have given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you call us to live in that victory that you have won. And we give you all the glory that your word and spirit working together in our lives enable us to live as overcomers. So we bless your holy name. Speak to us this morning from your heart to our hearts, Lord. Give us the grace to receive what it is you say, to be not hearers only, but doers of your word, so that we're not self-deceived, but we put your word into practice and see the fruit that materializes from that. So we give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, let's grab a seat. Just listen to this. My dear child, you are a disciple of Christ Jesus by my will. One of my saints, who I have set apart for my purposes, called to live out your life in Christ Jesus in a faithful way. As my beloved, I impart to you all the grace and peace you need to fulfill this purpose. It is right that you give me praise as your God and the Father of your Lord Jesus Christ. For I have blessed you through your life in Christ with every spiritual blessing that belongs to my heavenly kingdom. This is because I chose you before I created the world to belong to Christ, to be made holy and blameless in his sight, and so in my sight also. Because of my amazing love for you, I had decided that you should be adopted as my child, and this took place when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, this was my purpose and even my joy. Why should I do such a thing? Because I wanted you to praise me for my glorious grace that I have given freely to you, although you deserve nothing from me. All this grace I have given you in Jesus, the Son whom I love. In Christ, you have been redeemed. With his own blood, he has made it possible for all your sins to be forgiven, and so has purchased you with the price of his blood, so that now you belong to him as your Lord and to me as your Father. All this is the result of the immense riches of my grace that I have lavished on you. Yes, I have given you wisdom to receive my grace and to understand the wonderful ways in which I have blessed you. I have even made my will known to you. Although this remains a mystery to others, it has been my good purpose to reveal my purposes to all those who now live in Christ. My purposes will only be fully realized when time as you know it will have reached its climax. Then you shall see that I have brought everything in heaven and on earth together under the headship and authority of Christ. You were chosen to belong to me. This was my plan from the beginning, and I work out everything so my will and my purposes are completely fulfilled. All this is so that because you have put your hope in Christ, you might live for my praise and glory. I placed you in Christ when you heard the truth of the gospel of salvation and believed. It was then that I marked you in a very special way by placing my personal seal upon you. I gave you my own promised Holy Spirit to live within you. The gift of my Spirit is a deposit I have given you that guarantees your inheritance and keeps you eternally as my possession, living in the power of my redeeming love. Yes, that you might live for my praise and glory. Ever since you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus, I have given you love for your fellow saints, those who also belong to me. I want you to be continually thankful that you share in my life together with them. So remember them when you pray. As your glorious Father, I want to impart to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of who I am and what I have done for you through my Son, so that you will come to know me better. I also want your heart to be filled with light, that you will see for yourself and know in your experience the hope to which I have called you and the purpose I want to see fulfilled in your life. This is a very encouraging book, because it takes the epistles, that was, of course, the opening of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, and turns it round as if God the Father is speaking personally and directly to us. I've used the scriptures like that all the way through my ministry. Really builds faith, because it helps you to understand that God is speaking to you directly, even through the epistles. Although they were addressed in a historic situation and obviously had meaning for that time, the Word of God is eternal. And when you place yourself on the receiving end of the Word, it builds and encourages faith. I encourage all of you to do this for yourself. I mean, read this because we want to sell it, but no, read it because it will encourage you. But you do this yourself with the scripture. Just write down what, you know, turn it around so that God is speaking personally, directly to you. Then, you see, the written word becomes the spoken word. And when this word becomes the spoken word, it has impact on your life much more than simply reading it. Now, what Paul is saying in these opening verses, he's saying an immense amount. But if we can just take one thread that is running through what he's saying, God has accomplished everything in Jesus. His whole will and purpose is already accomplished in him. Now, it is being outworked in creation. But what is being outworked is the victory that he has already won. What he has already accomplished. During his lifetime, then through the cross and resurrection, and now as he reigns in glory, there is nothing left for him to do. He is sitting down because he has accomplished his work. That's why he cried out on the cross just before he died, "It is finished, it is done, it is accomplished." That was like saying, there's nothing left for me to do. So the scripture tells us that the cross is the place of victory. And the cross, of course, is historic. It is something that has already happened. Therefore, our victory has already happened. Our victory is never in the future. Our victory is always in the past. Our victory is always in what Christ has done for us. Now, the theme for this week that students are working through is righteousness. It was a happy God coincidence that Aaron Chain should really be talking so much about righteousness and living in righteousness together in what he was bringing. What happened on the cross is that sin was overcome. Not just the forgiveness of our sins, but sin itself was defeated. It was defeated by the righteousness of Jesus. Now, what put him on the cross? Unrighteousness. The opposition of the Pharisees and the other Jewish leaders was unrighteous. The false accusations that they brought against him were unrighteous. The way they beat him and condemned him was unrighteous. Pilate knew that he was innocent, yet still condemned him. That was unrighteous. Jesus took all this unrighteousness. He didn't fight back. He didn't hit back. He allowed all this unrighteousness to be done to him. And it looked as he hung on the cross as if all this unrighteousness had won the day. But he knew that his resurrection would demonstrate, would prove that all the unrighteousness was defeated. And so Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians, says that Jesus Christ is our righteousness. He is our wisdom from God, our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. That we have no righteousness of our own, but we are now made righteous and totally acceptable in God's sight through what Jesus has done for us. Religious observance can never make people righteous. Man trying to please God in his own efforts can never make people righteous. Our total righteousness is in Christ. We have no righteousness of our own. Self-righteousness is as filthy rags. But in Christ, we have been made the righteousness of God. That means God has given us the victory over everything that is unrighteous. Now, when sin or temptation attacks, when it seems that things come against us, it is very easy to focus on what is happening. If something of the flesh, of the self-life that opposes the spirit rises up, it's easy to get concerned, to focus on that, to be praying about that, to be pleading with God to take that away or to enable you to overcome it. And actually, you will never overcome it. Why? Because this is the plan of God, that you should not be able to overcome what he has already overcome. That the only way to overcome is through the victory of Jesus, never through fighting in your own strength. So what is the good fight of faith of which Paul speaks? The good fight of faith is not you fighting against the flesh or you fighting against opposition or persecution or the negative things that can happen in your life. It's not you fighting against the traumas that arise every now and again, because you fighting always ends in defeat. The fight of faith is having faith in what Jesus has already accomplished. It's faith in the victory that he has already won. So the only way to overcome is to get your eyes off of yourself, off of your feelings, off of your negative emotions, off of your own thinking, and onto Jesus and what he has already accomplished. This is the whole of Paul's thinking. And he knew what it was to try to please God by living a very religious life. He was communicating the gospel to these Gentiles who'd been part of the pagan religions, which were steeped in immorality and all kinds of ungodliness. But he knew that the answer was not to try to get them to fight against the things that came against them, but rather to know that the fight of faith is ignoring your feelings, your thoughts, and however you look at the situation, so that your whole focus goes on Jesus. This is why the writer to Hebrews says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Now, if you fix your eyes on Jesus, he is the author and finisher, the perfecter of your faith. And if your eyes are fixed on him, they cannot then be diverted onto yourself. Every time you focus on need, the need becomes greater. Every time you focus on your failure becomes greater. You see, whatever you focus on actually takes hold of your life. You actually live under what you focus on. So if you focus on the victory that Jesus has already won, then you will overcome and you will know the outcome. I was telling you yesterday of of the way last week that a real attack came upon me. But you see, I knew the outcome. And I wasn't listening to what men were saying, and because I knew that I had the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew that nothing in the whole of this world would separate me from His love or prevent me from fulfilling the very purpose for which He'd sent me to the place where I was. Nothing, nothing can hinder the purpose of God. He will fulfill what He has planned to do. So if you're in His plan, then you will succeed in doing what He has called you to do. All you have to do is to keep your focus on Him. Now, when you're in extreme pain, isn't it easy to focus on yourself and your condition and your need? But that's the very worst thing you can do. You need to keep your focus on Him and praising Him and keep speaking and affirming the victory that you have in Him. That's the fight of faith. That you're holding on to the Word of God with an honest and good heart, that you, which is what Jesus says, lies behind bearing a hundredfold fruit, that you are not believing the circumstances, even though the circumstances may seem so real because of what you're experiencing, the circumstances are not the truth. The truth is what Jesus Christ has done for us. The truth is the victory that He has won for us over everything that is unrighteous. So anything that comes against you is a form of unrighteousness. Even the failure, even the sin, even yielding to temptation, that is all unrighteousness. But Jesus has overcome unrighteousness. You won't overcome it, but He has overcome it. So as you believe in His victory, then He overcomes the unrighteousness in you. He is your righteousness. Just get this into your believing hearts, that you don't have and you will never have a righteousness of your own. Self-righteousness, which is your own righteousness, self-righteousness is as filthy rags because it ignores the righteousness of Jesus. So you can praise God that you have the righteousness of Jesus. So many Christians want to be right. But actually, none of us are right. Jesus alone is the righteous one. And it's only as we affirm Him and live in Him and focus on His Word in the power of His Spirit that we can actually walk in the righteousness that God has planned for us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He guides us into all the truth. He takes the word of truth and declares it to us. What I read just now was one way of doing that. The Holy Spirit speaking to you, making the word personal to you so that it becomes God's word to your heart, not just something you're reading. In all these ways, we are helped, our faith is strengthened to focus on the truth. What you experience is not the truth. Jesus is the truth. This is the deception of the enemy, to try to get people to think what they experience is the truth. No, what you experience are facts. But the truth can change the facts. But the facts can't change the truth. The truth remains the truth for all eternity. If you go on and read in Ephesians and again in Romans, Paul is saying that that truth will endure throughout this creation and beyond in the new creation that God establishes. There, everything will be of the truth. The Holy Spirit of truth cannot anoint deception. When people get outside of the will of God, they get outside of the anointing. God can't anoint sin. God can't anoint anything that is opposed to His will and purpose. This is why, you know, when some people say, oh, the Holy Spirit said this, 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 and this to me, you know that it wasn't the Holy Spirit, because those things are not a reflection of the Word of God. They're not a reflection of the truth. They're people listening to their own soulishness or listening to deceiving spirits. But we have the Word of God, whereby we can check out everything that we hear, that we believe, that we think, to make sure that our thinking, our speaking, our actions are in line with the truth. And the wonderful thing about the righteousness of God is that even when we fail, even when we sin, even when we yield to temptation, even when in some way we get our eyes diverted off of Jesus and off his purpose, he still doesn't wash his hands with us. He still doesn't condemn us, because as we've just heard, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All we do is ask for his forgiveness, and we get restored immediately to the place of righteousness. Okay, now, what do you think of yourself? Are you a righteous or an unrighteous person? If you think you're unrighteous, I guarantee you'll walk in unrighteousness. If you say, no, I am a righteous person, not with any self-righteousness of my own, but because I've been made righteous, then you have every opportunity to live in that righteousness day by day. I'm giving you students half the answers to your thing. Still, if you reproduce all this and what you write, I shall be happy, so will the Lord. You see, what does it mean when Paul says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? You think of yourself as an unrighteous person, and you're immediately denying what Jesus says. You're immediately denying the Word of God. He doesn't just say you have been made righteous. He says, you are the righteousness of God in Christ, not in yourself, but in Christ. But where has God put you? In Christ. Now, does that mean everything that you do will be righteous? I wish it did mean that, because it would be so much more wonderful if that was the case. Amen. Sadly, although we are the righteousness of God, we are still capable of doing unrighteous things, thinking in unrighteous ways, speaking in unrighteous ways, but only when we get our eyes off of who he is, what he has done, and who we are in him. And you see, this is the enemy's tactics. Get your eyes off Jesus and on yourself. Look at your failings, look at your fears, look at your doubts, you unrighteous failure. That's the devil's agenda. You could believe that if you choose to, and live the rest of your life in self-condemnation, which is a false condemnation, because in Christ there is no condemnation. So you can think like that. And many Christians are even taught to think like that, which is a travesty of the truth, because this is not the burden of Scripture. What we are taught, what Paul is teaching the Ephesians, is keep your focus on the truth of who Christ is, who God our Father is, what he has accomplished for us, the fact that we are now in right relationship with him, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we are able, as we keep our focus on him, to walk in righteousness. You see, Paul goes on to say this. Just a little bit later in Ephesians. What you are now is in direct contrast to what you used to be. Somebody say hallelujah. Once you were spiritually dead because your life was full of sin and disobedience to my word. That is how you used to live when you lived according to the world standards, because you were subject to my enemy, belonged to his negative dominion of darkness, and were controlled by the spirit that still works in the disobedient. So all that negative stuff belongs to who you were, not to who you are. Like all unbelievers, at one time you shared in an ungodly lifestyle, longing to satisfy your own flesh. You sought to gratify your fleshly desires, and sin filled much of your thinking. Just like everybody else, you were the subject of my anger because of your sinful disposition. But that is all in the past. Despite all this, because of my great love for you, and because I am so rich in mercy, I actually brought you to life with Christ. Now that's historic. It's already happened. You have been brought to life in Christ, with Christ, even when you were spiritually dead because of your sins. What a wonderful work of my grace to save you out of death and darkness of sin, out of the hands of the evil one you once served, even without realizing that is what you were doing. Now I have actually raised you up with Christ, and I see you seated with him in heavenly places because I have placed you in Christ Jesus. Heavenly places is the place of righteousness. There is no unrighteousness. There is no sin. There is no ungodliness. There is no fear. There is no failure in that place. And what Paul is saying is God sees you there now. Not as your hope for the future, but he sees you because you're in Christ, seated in heavenly places, seated in the place of victory. That the Spirit of God that raised Christ Jesus is the same Spirit who lives in you to enable you to live in the good of his risen life. And in him there is no sin. He is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So what a wonderful work of my grace to save you out of the death and darkness of sin, out of the hands of the evil one you once served. Now I have actually raised you up with Christ, and I see you seated with him in heavenly places because I have placed you in Christ Jesus. I have done this so that in the future you might demonstrate that the riches of my grace are so immense that nothing can be compared to such riches. And this grace has been shown to you because of my kindness towards you, expressed in all Christ Jesus has done for you. And so it goes on. I mean, get the book, read it all. But you see, it's so faith-building when we believe the Word of God. And faith comes from hearing the Word. Now, you have faith in what you look at. You look at yourself and your faith is in yourself. And when your faith is in yourself, your confidence in Christ drains away. But every time you fix your eyes on Jesus, every time you look at him, he becomes the object of your faith. He is not only the author, but the perfecter, the finisher of your faith. Whatever faith is lacking in you, God finishes, God perfects. But never when you look at yourself, only when you look at him. Your biggest enemy is spiritual cancer. Physical cancer, which is the enemy, physically, people. But there is a spiritual cancer. And that spiritual cancer is self-pity. People look at themselves and they feel sorry for themselves. And often they want to talk about their problems to others so that others will feel sorry for them. What a bad deal. What a terrible thing I'm having to work through. Don't you feel sorry for me? And some people sit around, they mope around, hoping that someone will come and put their arm around them and say some encouraging things to them to make them feel a bit better. Then as soon as the person's gone, they're back in their self-pity. It's spiritual cancer. It eats away at faith. It destroys faith. It condemns people to failure. Now, in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation, which is why we need to keep our focus on who and what we are in Christ Jesus. And yes, we will still have to go through tough times, challenges, but the testing of our faith proves it's genuine. When I was going through what I went through last week, that ordeal, I knew that I'd not only come through with it, but I knew I'd come out the other end with a stronger faith. Because I knew that, yes, this was an attack of the enemy, but from God's perspective, it's the testing of our faith. Are you going to hold on? Are you going to hold on to the victory that you have in Christ? Are you going to keep affirming that victory? You see, all these challenges are a testing of our faith. But it's those tests that actually strengthen your faith and make you even stronger in your dependence upon Jesus. This is why we should rejoice in the Lord always. Give thanks in all circumstances. You see, I knew that what was happening was because certain people were coming against me and praying against me. I knew that. And so what's my attitude towards them? Thank you, Lord, for them. Why? Because that's the word of God. How can that be the word of God? Because it says that if you are persecuted unrighteously for his sake, your reward will be greater in heaven. So I was saying, thank you, Lord. Those people have come against me. Now I'm going to have a greater reward in heaven. And I praise you for that. This is why Jesus says that when things come against you, rejoice. Be glad. He said, leap for joy. I wasn't in a leaping mood at the moment, but at that particular time, that would have been probably physically impossible. But you see, the point is, where are you in your faith? You have overcoming faith. That's why you're here. If you didn't have it when you came, you're going to leave with it. Overcoming faith. The faith that overcomes in any and every situation. It's easy, you know, for Christians, even Christian leaders, to sit around and talk about a difficult situation, talk about a problem, instead of getting before God and affirming the victory over the problem. This is something I'm constantly having to minister to leaders wherever I go. Because it's so easy for leaders to become problem-orientated instead of Christ fixated. Not just orientated, but if your focus is fixed on him, you're fixated with Christ. Hallelujah. That's a good one. I must remember that. Praise God. I'm fixated with Christ. I like that. Holy Spirit gives you good stuff, doesn't he? When you trust him. I'm fixated with Christ. Thank you, Jesus! Oh, yes, 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 yes. The fire, you see. I was on fire last week. Why? Because we caught fire here. In the couple of weeks before, I went with fire, and I was on fire. And everybody knew it. And you know, a lot of people where I was, they'd lost the fire. Some of them, the older ones, they'd known what it was to have the fire, and they'd lost the fire. But you see, you take fire into a situation, and what's going to happen? Others are going to catch fire. Amen? But you've got to keep the fire stoked up. Keep the fire burning. Keep putting fresh wood on the fire. You don't want it to boil down, do you? To simmer down. You want to keep the fire raging within you. Oh, you poor things, you've got to sit there and listen to this instead of... Well, you could stand up and get excited. That's possible. But you see, it is exciting. It's exciting to know It doesn't matter. Whatever happens to me, I have the victory. That I cannot be defeated. I cannot be overcome because I'm in Christ. And nothing can overcome him. Nothing can cause him to be defeated. And my trust is in him. And you see, the wonderful thing for me about those scriptures that we read is it wasn't my idea. It was his idea. He chose me. He called me. He put me into Christ. He's given me the victory. He's given me his life. He's given me his fullness. It's all what he has done. I haven't done anything. So Paul says, this is his amazing grace. All of it is his amazing grace. The grace that he has lavished upon us. Everything is the work of his grace. And of course, as he taught him in, he writes in 2 Corinthians, that grace is always sufficient for us. And his power is made perfect in our weakness. Because even when we feel weak, we still have the victory. And he's still going to lead us through that time where we feel weak, we feel sometimes perhaps even oppressed and everything coming against us. But still, you see, we don't focus on our feelings, we don't focus on the circumstances. We focus on him, we focus on the victory. Are there any believers in this room this morning? Come on, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. It's not just the will of God for me because I'm a preacher. It's the will of God for every child of God. Amen. See, every church should be full of people that are just radiant with the glory of God because they're living in the victory of Christ. Hallelujah. So when we pray, I mean, when we pray for healing or for the meeting of any need, we have the victory. We're not praying, wondering what is going to happen. We have the victory. We're praying the victory into being. And sometimes the fight of faith is to persevere in doing that until you see the outworking of the victory. Because you don't get the victory every time just because you prayed once. Sometimes there's the testing of faith. Are you really serious? Are you going to hold on to the word of God? The testing of your faith proves it's genuine. So praise God. Even when you're seeking him as you are now and on your knees and on your faces before him, don't have your focus on yourself. You're a boring subject. But Jesus is exciting. Have your focus on him. You're meeting with him. You're not meeting with yourself. You see, if your focus is on yourself, you're only going to meet with yourself. Well, you can say, yeah, but I mean, you know, I need to pour out my heart to God. Well, pour out your heart to him, but keep your focus on him while you're doing it. And know that once you've poured out your heart, he's heard you, and you don't have to say it again and again and again and again. He heard it the first time. He's not deaf. See, why do Christians go over the same stuff again and again and again? Because they don't believe he heard the first time. What does the scripture say? If we know that he hears us, we know that we have from him whatever we ask. Listen, if he knows your thoughts and he knows your words even before they're on your lips, he must have heard you. He heard you before you even voiced the prayer. He knew what was in your heart. He knew what faith there was there before you spoke. So of course he hears you. Hallelujah. So don't bore him by saying the same stuff again and again and again. Just thank the Lord. You know, it only takes as long to be forgiven as it takes you to ask to be forgiven. He doesn't withhold his forgiveness. He doesn't want to withhold anything from you because he's given you the fullness of life in Christ. He has already given it. He's not in the withholding business. He's in the giving business. He's in the blessing business. He's in the healing business. This is him. This is his nature. This is the character of our Lord, our Savior, our God. You see, he honors all that he has accomplished through his Son. So when you have a need and you come before him, he doesn't say, well, I can see all this unrighteousness in your life. You see, what you've got to understand is this. He doesn't see you as you were. He sees you in his Son. He sees you made totally acceptable. He sees you free in Christ. He sees you triumphant. Why? Because he always leads us in his triumphant procession in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Jesus cannot lead a procession of failures. He can't. Thank you, Lord, that you've called me to fail. No. Thank you, Lord, you've called me to overcome. And thank you that as I keep my eyes on you, I will overcome. Now, we're talking about personal faith. There will be all kinds of circumstances in the lives of other people that you will not be able to overcome. You have to understand that. And that's why you need the wisdom and the leading of the Holy Spirit as you pray for others and what you pray for others. But you see, your effectiveness in prayer is going to depend largely upon how you are walking in faith yourself. How you are relating in faith. You're not going to overcome in prayer if you're not living in that overcoming faith in yourself. Hallelujah. I'm just going to finish with this. You know the questions that Jesus put to Peter. Do you love me more than these? What do the more than these represent? Well, at that time, Jesus was referring to the fish. God had called Peter away from being a fisherman when he first called him to be a disciple. Now, Peter had gone back to fishing. Which is why he caught nothing, because it was not the purpose of God for him. Jesus, in his mercy and grace, intervenes, and they get a miraculous catch. But that's only because Jesus turned up. Without Jesus, they'd have caught nothing. But now he puts the question, do you love me more than these? Now, there's nothing wrong with fish. My wife and I had fish for supper last night. We were allowed to eat fish. But I love Jesus more than fish. But you see, the question is not, and this is the wisdom of God, that what we've had passed down in Scripture is not, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these fish? If God had wanted it to be put that way, that's what you would have read in the Word of God. But you see, he asked him, do you love me more than these? Now, the these can refer to anything. Can refer to anything in your life that you love. Now, there are people that you love. But still, if you look at what Jesus says about discipleship, is, do you love me more than these? Do I love Jesus more than my wife? Yes, emphatically. I love my wife, but I love Jesus more. I made that clear when we first got married. I said to my wife, you will never be my first love. Jesus will always be my first love. And I expected the same of her. I don't want to be her first love. Jesus is to be her first love. That will be enable us to have a prosperous marriage, and we've been going for 52 years, so we're doing all right so far. But we knew it would also be the blessing for our children. That Jesus is first. Do you love me more than these? But there can be other things that we do, other things that we enjoy. And okay, they may not be sinful in themselves, but do you love me more than these? See, the answer always has to be, well, you know that I love you more than these. And what about those desires of the flesh? Those things that tend to trip us up. Different in different ones. But you see, the question is, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these so that you would deny the things of the flesh, take up your cross and follow me? Not do you focus on it and just get all into condemnation because you have a love for something, a desire for something that is not of God. But he says, no, no, no. Get your focus on me. Do you love me more than these? If you love me more than these, you can do without these. You can do without those things. They're not doing you any good because they're contradicting the work of my Spirit in your life. So just let them go. Just let them go. Don't fight them. Just let them go. Focus on me. Focus on your love for me. Because in Christ Jesus, you are the righteousness of God. So you don't need to touch those things that are unrighteous. Just focus on me. Focus on my righteousness. Because the only righteousness that you have is my righteousness. Come on, let's get to our feet. I'm happy. Anybody else here happy? Yes. Come on then, let's rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in His victory. He has overcome all unrighteousness on the cross. Hallelujah. All unrighteousness is defeated. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus! Praise you, Lord! Praise you, Lord! Praise you, Lord! Listen. Pastor Mengt, in one of the sessions, he said something very interesting. He said, you know, when a truth gets hold of your heart, you can't help shouting about it. And you know when people have really got the message because they begin to shout. Now, he's talking about something spontaneous, you know. It's not, oh, thank you, Lord, for the revelation. Oh, thank you that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord! I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I praise you. I bless you. I thank you for your victory. Yes, 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 yes. I thank you for your victory. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, 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 oh.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise your holy name. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm an overcomer because you have overcome, and I'm living in you. I'm living in you. I'm living in you. I praise you. I praise you. I thank you, Lord. Every day is a day of victory. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You know, when we lived in community, we had a greeting in the morning. We didn't say, morning. We didn't even say, good morning. We said, it's another day of victory. And the response was, amen. It's another day of victory. It's another day of victory. I said, it's another day of victory. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. 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 You have given me the victory through Christ Jesus, my Lord. Come on, thank him that you have the victory. You have the victory. You have the victory. You have the victory. Nothing has the victory over you. You have the victory over everything. You have the victory over everything. Over everything. Hallelujah. Because you are in the risen Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, rata parazata parazata baraja. Now listen to me. You don't pray about situations as if you don't have the victory. You pray about them because you know you have the victory, and you're praying the victory into being. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, well, Pastor, I don't feel I have the victory. That's your problem. You're still feeling. You're still focusing on feelings. I'm not allowed to say thou fool, so I say you idiot. Because, I mean, you have the victory in Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Paparazada baria lera bakalazato bakalazita. Bazanaria lera bakalazato bakalazam. Oh, paparazada baria lera bakalazato bakalazita. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, come on. Yes, yes. Does anybody believe that Satan is defeated? Well, if you believe he's defeated, don't give him any reason to think that he's not defeated in your life. He is defeated in your life. He is defeated in your life. He will only ever want to damage you, but he's defeated. What does Jesus say? I have given you authority over all the power of the evil one, and nothing will harm you. Hallelujah. You see what I was going through last week? I knew it couldn't harm me because I had the victory in Jesus. Had the authority in Jesus. I knew I was going to come out stronger. Some were wanting to finish me, but I was going to come out stronger. Praise God. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, give him the glory. Give him the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. You're allowed to be wild. Come on. Where's that wild faith? Where's that wild faith? Faith is wild. Faith is wild. Listen. Listen. When things aren't wild, you put fences around them. Like you have domesticated animals. They're kept in fields or hutches or whatever, whatever, whatever. But wild animals roam free. No limitations. You want wild faith. No limitations. Your faith isn't boxed up. Right? It's not domesticated faith. It's wild faith. There's no limitations to this faith. There's no limitations on what God will do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No limitations. No limitations. No limitations. Come on. Come on. Come on. Paparazadabari alera bakalazatu bakalazandama. Opa zadabari alera bakalazatu bakalazida. Oh. Listen. Self-consciousness is a sin. Some people don't like to be wild because they want to appear as if they've got it all together, everything nice and neat. Oh, you poor thing. You poor soul. I'll almost feel sorry for you, but no, I won't, because there's no self-pity. That's sin, right? Don't want to appear nice. Appear free. See, God wants your cup overflowing. He says he wants rivers pouring out of you. How can rivers pour out of you in a nice way? I mean, he wants you to be flooded with the Holy Spirit. A raging torrent of the power of God surging through your life. Come on. Come on. Come on. Pura tapara zadabaria letter bakalazatu. Bazadabaria letter bakalazatu bakalazita. Hopapara zadabaria letter bakalazandama. Hopapara zadabaria letter bakalazita. Hopapara zadabaria letter bakalazita. Oh, the devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. One of his lies is this. You know, Christians are deceived when the devil says things to them which sound right. And one of the ways he does that is he says, be careful. Be careful. Don't get too excited. Be careful. Don't get too full on. Be careful. Be careful of what? How can you have too much of Jesus? You see, that's what he's saying. Be careful. You don't have too much of Jesus. Be careful. You don't have too much freedom. Be careful. You don't have too much faith. Be careful. You don't have too much fire. Be careful.
No. No, no, no. The only one I'm careful about is Satan. I'll be careful not to notice anything you're saying or doing. Hallelujah! Yes! Oh, Rasadabaria letter Bacalazandama. Bazandaria letter Bacalazato Bacalazato Bacalazito. Oh, Papara Zarabaria letter Bacalazandama. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Oh, Papara Zarabaria letter Bacalazan. Listen, listen, listen. You have been given the fullness of life in Christ. That's what the scripture, not you need the fullness, but you have been given the fullness. So you have the fullness of Christ within you. So it's not a question of saying, I need more of Jesus. No, it's simply, I need to release more of Jesus. See? I need to release more of Jesus because I have his fullness already within me. See? I already have the anointing and the empowering of the Holy Spirit within me. I already have Christ within me. I've just got to let him out. I've got to let him loose. I mustn't be careful so that I restrict his operation in my life. I want that wild faith that releases Jesus into every... Come on, come on, come on. Let's do it. 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 Yes! Paparazza da baria lera bacalazato bacalazida. Oh, paparazza da baria lera bacalazanda. Come on! Come on! Come on! Now, so some of you might say, but it's not my nature to be like that. Oh, come on! You have a new nature, Christ in you, and it is his nature to be like that. Come on. Come on. You're not living according to your nature. You're living according to his nature. You're living according to his nature. You're living according to his nature. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Listen, listen. I've found over the years that there's some Christians that have pride. When they're in a meeting like this, they never want to do what the leader of the meeting says. This is true. This is true. It can be of all kinds of things, but they never want to do. They always want to do their own thing. No, I'm going to do this in my way. I'm not going to do what he says. Listen, the Holy Spirit is operating through me this morning. Watch it. If you're defying what he is saying, you're defying the Spirit. You are. You are. You are restricting what the Spirit of God, he wants to release, he wants to liberate, he wants to free you, he wants to get the power flowing. Come on! You are not an exception. You are not an exception. Yes, 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 yes. Praise you, Jesus. I say, praise you, Jesus. I say, praise you, Jesus. I say, praise you, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Bazarabaria letter bakalazato. Bazarabaria letter bakalazato. Oh, Bazanaria letter bakalazito di sandaria letter bakalazanama. Oh, yes! Yes! Pura la bakalazita di sandaria letter bakalazita di sandaria. come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Now, listen. This is who you are. What is happening now is who you are. Okay? Don't put a lid on it. You're not this just because you're being led in a meeting by someone who's free in the Spirit. This is you. As God has created you in Christ Jesus, it is for freedom. Christ has set you free. So you can be free like this when you're on your own. When you're just with two or three. Wherever you are. This is you. One who is free in Christ. One with the unlimited power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. One who has the fullness of life in Christ. This is you. This is you. Come on. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Master. Come on, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is a day of victory. Wednesday will be a day of victory. Thursday will be a day of victory. Friday will be a day of victory. Saturday will be a day of victory. Sunday will be a day of victory. Monday will be a day of victory. Every week will be a week of victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See, what does the scripture say? Christ is to have the supremacy in all things. See, he can't have the supremacy while you're looking at yourself. At that moment, you have the supremacy. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He'll have the supremacy in all things. In all things. At all times. At all times. He has the supremacy. Oh, yes! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are you looking happy? Come on, if you're rejoicing in the Lord, you look happy. Rejoice in Him always. Yes. I don't have to overcome because He has overcome. So I'm living in His overcoming power. I don't have to get the victory because He's given me the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, my friend, this is the only thing that works. You try to live a Christian life in any other way, and you'll find it won't work. You try to make the Holy Spirit fit your mood and your style, and all you'll do is restrict the Spirit. Because you see, He is greater than your mood. He's greater than your style. He wants you to have a faith style, a Holy Spirit style, a freedom style. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Poparazata bari aleto bakalazato bakalazita. Bazarabari aleto bak.
Is something getting released in you this morning? Just raise your hand. Is something getting released in you this morning? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, it was there within, but God's releasing it. God's just releasing it. You're stirring up the gift that is within you. Faith stirs up the gift. Faith stirs up the gift. Now, that situation that has concerned you, you have the victory. Just thank God that you have the victory in that situation. Mm-hmm.
Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, ratapari alera bakala sito di sandama.
Father, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt you. We glorify your wonderful and holy name. Thank you, Lord, that you accomplished everything in your beloved Son. You left no need unmet. You left no situation uncovered. Everything, everything, everything is covered through the sacrifice of Jesus, through the victory of Jesus, through the overcoming power of the resurrection of Jesus. Everything is covered. We thank you that any situation that ever confronts us, any need that ever arises, we have the victory. Hallelujah. 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 The thief will not rob us. The thief will not steal. The thief will not be able to kill us. Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. He is defeated. He is beneath your feet, Lord Jesus, and we are in you. We are in your victory. So we praise you. We bless you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 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 Listen, the whole of the Christian life is discovering who you are. Who you are in Christ. Not who you think you are in the natural, but who you are in Christ. It's a great adventure. It's a great revelation. It's a great unfolding of the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's going to surprise you, you know. He's going to surprise you because by the end of term, you'll be in awe because you'll be saying, Lord, I never realized I had all that within me. And you just transform me so much that I really am more glorious now than I was at the beginning of term. I'm freer now. I'm more victorious now. Hallelujah. Come on, let's have a great shout of praise for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, you will have a good day. Every morning will be a good morning. With the emphasis on good, not morning. Good morning. Every day will be another day of victory. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.